Welcome to Hope Is Here. Man, we have just had a great week this week. If you feel like you're too far from God and that God would never be able to accept you with all the mistakes and bad decisions you've made in your life, you've come to the right place. We've been talking with Keith Rapol. Guy grew up here in the South in the Memphis, Tennessee area. Had just a really rough childhood, went out to California, got drugs into the pornography industry, had tremendous success, was the leading distributor on the West Coast in the pornography business, making thousands of dollars every week, had cars, homes, you name it, all the things that tell you life would make you successful and most of all happy, but still had that God-sized shape hole in his heart that only Jesus Christ can fill. And we've been hearing about his story through all that, to how he found a personal relationship with Jesus and has a Central Kentucky tie with Jen Oakes and Mike Bro, people that served on staff at Southland Christian Church here in Kentucky. But we've been talking, we just started yesterday, with some of the tools that helped Keith get sobriety and grow in his personal relationship with Jesus. These tools are a combination of the 12 steps of AA and the Bible. Mike Bro and Jen Oak has helped him with this. So I think you'll really be blessed to catch these programs that you've already missed. They're only 14 minutes long. Just go to our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. Yesterday we got started. Mike used the Mike, Bro, and Keith used the acronym BREATHE to put these tools together. And we did the letter B, admit my brokenness. R, relinquish control. The letter E stands for evaluate my life with fearless honesty. And man, I got to admit to you, Keith, that fearless honesty part in that one there, that's challenging to do, isn't it?
It is, you know. Fearless honesty, there's stuff, and I think there's stuff that all of us have that we kind of go, you know, I'm going to take this to my grave with me. I'm not going to share it with anyone ever. And, in this step, evaluating my life with fearless honesty, I had a sponsor, and he said, Keith, I want you to go home, write down everything you don't want to tell me about yourself. And that's a tall order. You know, I don't want to tell no one everything about myself. You know, I think I can even get on my knees and tell God more about myself than I can tell another human being. But I think it's a freeing step. There were things that I couldn't even write. I just put a little word. And I knew what the word meant, and I would go over, and I would sit down with this man, and I would pull these boulders out of my heart and tell him, you know. And for the first time in my life, I was completely honest with another human being about all those things that I didn't want to tell anyone else. And it was a freeing step. It's one that's often avoided by many. And I remember I got home and my wife was amazed. She goes, did you do it? I go, I did it. I told someone everything about myself. And I came home and I hit my knees and I thanked God for and prayed to him about what had happened, and I had felt so light that day, that I had finally let go of all that stuff. And there was a lot of stuff in there, you know, that I just thought I'd never tell anyone else. So that's what that step did for me. Then I would begin to make a list, you know, and by telling the truth about myself, I could make that list a little easier. You know, of people that I may have harmed in my past, which kind of takes us into the next letter of the breathe, which is the A for making amends. And I would put together a list of people that I had harmed in my past, and I would set out to make my wrongs right. Being that I grew up and in Memphis. That's where I thought I would start. And immediately I bought a plane ticket, and I flew home to Memphis, and I searched out, you know, I started with my mother, went to her grave, made amends there. My brother was shot in the head at 21, stealing drugs in Memphis, and I had amends to make to him. Well, I wasn't able to make, you know, his funeral, and I didn't know where he was buried. No one could remember nothing but the cemetery name. And I walked every gravestone in the cemetery till I found him, made my amends there. I went to my stepfather. I sat with him for the first time. I walked in, and he has a automotive race car shop. I got out there. It's the first time I've come back to see him since I was removed from the family. He was still carrying a little New Testament Bible in his back pocket and telling everyone that walked in about Jesus. I saw him for the first time in a different light. I sat with him and asked him to forgive me for any harm or that I had caused him in his past. And I was set free of my resentments instantly when I made amends to him. I remember there was this guy, and I don't want to get too far and tell you the whole book, but there was this one guy. Today we have a wonderful tool called Facebook, and we can see old friends, and there was a guy that would pop up on there, and I would just kind of avoid befriending him, but we used to play basketball in Memphis on the corner, and I broke into his house one day when he wasn't there and stole his bass guitar, and I got in touch with his mother. She told me his phone number. I called him, and before I came to Memphis, said, "Hey, you think we could meet in a coffee shop? I'm coming to Memphis." And he was puzzled. He hadn't heard from me since I was 16 years old. And I remember he walked in, and he told me he'd become a pastor. And I was like, he's got to forgive me now. but there was something freeing in that moment when he found out the reason I was there. The tears started rolling down my face when I said, "I was the guy that broke into your house. I stole your bass guitar." And I pulled money out of my pocket and paid him back. These are steps that were really freeing for me. I had a daughter that I never parented out in Bakersfield, California. I drove out, met her for the first time. She was 30 years old. I told her I was sorry for any pain and suffering that I caused her. Didn't know where it would go from there, but I drove through the fear and made the appointment. These amends are a very important part of the steps, and they're very freeing.
Well, that's the thing that, as I read your book and thought about even my own life, that these steps do, the freedom that comes in your heart and your mind and the peace that happens is just tremendous. So we're now TH. You can find those. Think a whole new way, and that's a big one, isn't it?
It is, and it's still today a daily challenge. I have to wake up every day and think a whole new way. In the beginning of this chapter, you know, Mike Bro puts it so nicely, and he calls out John 8:44, and he says that the enemy wants to keep us locked up in guilt, shame, and make us feel worthless. And he wants to see us wrestle and tortured soul. Thinking in a whole new way, you know, from not parking in a handicapped spot, from letting someone else go in front of me at the grocery store, from putting all those expensive watches in a safe and forgetting about them and not wearing a watch, to, you know, selling off all my expensive cars and driving a truck, to, you know, it just goes on and on and on. Today I ride around in my truck, and I've got my all six of my programs are programmed to Christian music. You know, if you'd have told me 8 years ago that I was going to be driving around in a pickup truck listening to nothing but Christian music, I'd have told you you'd lost your mind, you know, because I never wanted to return to anything that resembled or sounded like Christian. think a whole new way. You know, how do I do that? How do I think a whole new way? You know, I find that if I sit at home, the solutions aren't going to come to me by sitting at home. I have to surround myself in new environments and new circles. You know, like I mentioned before, that I have a Bible study in my house on Monday mornings. I attend church on Sunday mornings. I go to 12-step programs every day. I work with those in need. I'm constantly going out, having a cup of coffee with someone. I'm a coach on the baseball team, a coach on the basketball team. This is a guy that didn't have a father that coached him. This is a guy that knew nothing about sports. And I've been 4 or 5 years now in sports with my 9-year-old son, and he's an all-star. We read the Christian passage every morning before he goes to school. He's memorized scripture. I'm able to speak into my family's life today. My life has changed radically today. I don't have all the money I used to have, but I have community. I'm well respected in my community, and I'm able to walk with my head held high with the love of Jesus in my heart. And I'll sit down with a cup of coffee and talk to anyone about Jesus today.
Well, I love one of the quotes you had in that chapter two about thinking a whole new way as part of the tools, spelling out the acronym BREATHE, that if you can worry, you can meditate. And obviously all the scriptures that you have read and the Bible studies and obviously help is what you want to meditate on. And then I love the last part of that chapter on thinking a whole new way. You said, I'm learning that as you feed and focus, your way of thinking begins to change. So you feed your mind with God's word and put yourself in new environments. And then the second word, I think it's so huge, is focus.
Well, and then I like, you know, kind of ending this, you know, encouraging others with my life story. I like to go back to the man by the pool, and, you know, Jesus asked him if he wanted help. And at the end, after he was healed, he told him to pick up his mat and walk. You know, and you'd think, well, why does he need his mat? He's been laying on it for 40 years, you know? Wouldn't you want to leave that there and just run away from the mat? But I feel that God, your story is your mat. And the story that I've lived is my mat today. You know, that people would say, why do you have that mat? Well, let me tell you about the mat. You know, and I feel like that he wants us to encourage others with our story. We're all uniquely designed. Everyone has a story, and their story can be used by God. And he wants you to pick up your mat and walk.
Well, I thought that was just powerful, and I know it spoke to me, and we all have a story. Thank you so much for sharing yours, Keith, over the past four programs. It's just been really powerful stuff. We wish God's best on your ministry out there, and please tell Mike Bro and Jody and Mike Hickerson and Jen and T.D. Oaks that we all said hi from Kentucky.
I'll do so.
All right. Thanks so much, Keith.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Thank you. We've been speaking with Keith Rapal, a great book called Just Breathe. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of it. The subtitle is All Stories Are Redeemable, All Brokenness Is Repairable, All Addictions Are Breakable. It's a great read. Man, I read it in 2 days. I couldn't put it down. If you need some encouragement, especially if you've been praying for somebody for a long time that just doesn't seem to be making any progress out of addiction, you will be greatly encouraged, or maybe you just need it yourself. I want to encourage you to pick up a copy of Just Breathe by Keith Rapal. It's R-E-P-U-L-T. He was helped with the book by Mike Bro and Jen Oaks, but it's a great read. I was blessed, and I know you will be too. Well, thanks so much for joining us. I hope you'll tell somebody about us. Follow us on iTunes and Podbean, and we're also on YouTube. My name's Greg Horn. We'll see you next time on Hope Is Here.